Welcome, everybody, to the Hockey Think Tank podcast brought to you by thehockeythinktank.com, a website for all players, parents, and coaches to go to get a little bit of education and a little bit of inspiration regarding the greatest game on the planet. What an episode we have for you guys here today. One of the more inspiring episodes that we have done. We get into the equipment business, we get into the charity business and community service when it comes to hockey. But we bring on Drew Lane, who is a friend of Jeff's. Drew is a serial business person who does a lot of stuff with the equipment and apparel industry. And he has an awesome Facebook account, Facebook group called Hockey Deals and Discounts. He also runs the Penalty Box Foundation. You can find him at penaltyboxfoundation.org, where they do some amazing work for people that really need some help in the hockey world. And so before we get to Drew, though, you're going to love this conversation. Let's get over to another guy that I know you all love in Jeff LaVecchio. Jeff LaVecchio, what's on today?
Not much, brother. Had an unreal day today. I have somewhat of a voice, even though one Paul Stastny texted you and I today chirping me about my voice on the last like 7 podcasts. I cannot help it, Staz. I know you're listening, but I did get a lot of people commenting and talking to me about that picture that Vinny put out of me, you, Staz, and Muncie when we were like in middle school, and that what was that? That was like a hockey camp we went to in Quebec, right? Yeah. So anyway, Staz, I do have a voice today. But it's been a good day, Toph. Pretty happy and really excited to have Drew on here to talk about all the fantastic things he's doing for all of the hockey community.
Yeah, it's unreal, dude. Like, so for the listeners, typically when we bring guests on, a lot of times it's a mutual friend that the two of us both know, but sometimes it's somebody that I bring on, sometimes it's somebody that Jeff brings on. And I didn't know Drew before this podcast. I didn't know his story. I got to research him a little bit before this, but holy cow. Like this episode had the feels, man. Like I think all three of us at some point teared up a little bit, and just when people are helping people and you get into just the goodness in the hockey community, it's a special, inspiring thing.
Yeah. You know, like episodes like this really remind me like why I love the hockey community, why I have chosen to make this my life, you know, after playing. And it's people like this that you get to come across, you get to meet, you hear their stories, you hear about how much good they're doing for the world and just injecting positivity and helping people who are down on their luck and also just helping people to be able to afford things better. I don't know. Like he does so many things for the hockey community and, I'm just grateful to have met him and grateful to know him and grateful to befriend him.
Yeah. And you said you met him at the All-Star game a couple years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. He's buddies with the Gelsticks guys and Gelsticks guys had me come up to the All-Star game. It was in my hometown, obviously. So I drove like 8 minutes, went out to dinner and I sat next to Drew and I think I probably had GMBM something on one of my something from my clothes or a hat or something. We started talking. He's like, I love that. And like, you know, some people like you just feel their energy, you feel their passion. And I didn't know him. I didn't know who he was, didn't know what he did. And I just remember being like, man, like this guy's got like really good energy. Like I'm feeling this. And then we started talking more and more. And when COVID hit, he had me come on and do like a Facebook live for his Facebook group with, and it's just really cool. And he just really is all about giving back. Like he really is. It's not self-serving. He loves helping people. And, you know, I've asked him to be on the podcast and he's been like, I want to come on and schedules didn't work out. And, you know, we needed somebody for this week. And I'm was talking to him with some other business stuff. I'm like, man, can you do this week? And he's like, yep. And I was like, perfect. We need you. Let's go.
Yeah. Very, very cool. This was a very unexpected, uplifting night for me. And, sometimes we have those days. You had a good one. It was kind of a weird one for me. So like, it's just, this is like one of the best parts of my week every week, getting the chance to get on here with you and the guests that we bring on, because I don't know, maybe you see this, maybe not, but like, I feel like in the youth hockey world, a lot of times you're having conversations about just the BS and people are typically coming to you with problems, and people are coming to you, especially as a hockey director, with issues, and this person's doing this when they said they were going to do this, and this is wrong. And it was just one of those days for me. And then, so getting the chance to get on here, not expecting, you know, not even knowing who Drew was, and then just to have that conversation was just one of those. It was just, it was great. Like, kind of like what the medicine that the doctor ordered.
The old medicine that the doctor ordered. Yes.
I don't even know if that's the saying, but there's some kind of saying.
It is. Just what the doctor ordered.
Yeah. No medicine. Yeah.
Medicine. It's just what the doctor ordered. Yeah. Yeah, man. I feel the same way. It was, you know, I got hit in the feels. I got punched right in the feels tonight, and I liked it.
Good stuff. All right, man. Well, I don't think we should honestly waste that much time. I think we should get the listeners over to this. So before we do get over to Drew and his story and what he has going on in the hockey world right now, we do want to thank GelSticks, our title sponsor. Thank you, GelSticks, for supporting what we do. Go to GELSTX.com for some weighted training aid sticks, or golf clubs, or lacrosse sticks. They got a whole bunch of stuff there, GELSTX.com. Thank you to Train Heroic, the very clean and sleek app that Jeff uses to train all of his people that are not with him in the gym. So thank you to Train Heroic for doing that. Jeff's got like a kind of a weird face on. I feel like I'm doing
that
a happy job right now.
That was a clean tire pump you threw out there. Like that was the cleanest Train Heroic tire pump you've thrown out there. And I was letting you know I liked it, but now you just kind of ruined it. Now we had to explain it. But yeah, it was clean. Good work, Toph.
Literally. Like, that's why I do not work in marketing. I am so bad. But also thank you to the listeners. We love you guys. We thank you so much for the support that you give to us on this podcast. We guarantee you are going to be very, very inspired this one. And it's so cool that this one coming after Ben Eaves' podcast, because the feedback that I got from his podcast was very, very similar. And I got kind of the similar feelings coming out of that one as I did with this one as well. So if you can continue to help spread the word for what we're doing, and spread the word for what Drew is doing too. And, you know, he'll provide where you can find him. Again, penaltyboxfoundation.org is the charity that he is running. And then his Facebook group, Hockey Deals and Discounts. It's got 45,000 plus hockey families on there, and they do an amazing job providing some low-cost options and alternative to the ridiculousness that is hockey equipment right now. And it's just a community that's banded together. And I think the listeners, you can get a lot out of that Facebook group. You can get a lot out of going to the Penalty Box Foundation and seeing just some awesome perspective of what Drew and his company are doing for people in need in the hockey world. And we just so appreciate all the stuff that you guys do for us, and we cannot wait to give you this episode.
Yeah, and Toph and I decided to donate at the end of it here. So if anybody else decides they want to donate to what Drew's doing at the Penalty Box Foundation, throw us a tag or something on Instagram or Twitter. Let us know that you're donating, trying to help Drew's cause, and we want to do everything we can to help hockey families in need.
Absolutely, man. That's what this podcast is all about. That's what Drew is all about. And without further ado, let's head it on over to Drew Lane. We are so excited to have on this episode of the podcast. Well, we haven't even started yet, but we had a little pre-show discussion, and I haven't been more excited to have a guest on that I didn't know in this entire time we've been doing this podcast. But Drew Lane, I am excited to have a conversation with you and a little bit with Jeff here today. So what's going on, man? How's everything going?
Good, good. Happy to be here.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So let's take it way back, man. That's what we like to do with our guests. And you're from the Boston area. And
yes.
Born and bred, and wanted to ask you just how you fell in love with this great game of hockey. I mean, you're doing some just incredible stuff with the game right now, which we'll obviously get to a little bit later, but just tell us a little bit about what sparked your passion for the game.
Absolutely. So I grew up in Marion, Massachusetts, about an hour south of Boston. And it's a hockey area. Obviously Massachusetts is hockey strong, and it's in the blood of so many families there. I grew up in a town that had prep school in it. So we had Tabor Academy down there. Grew up around the game, playing and just fell in love with it, and, you know, played up through my youth years into high school, and was a mediocre player at best. And still love the game though. It was all around us all the time, you know, skating on the bogs back in, you know, the off days of youth hockey. And it was just who we were as a community.
That's awesome, man. And kind of piggybacking off of that, like just from hearing your story and talking to you before this, like it's very, very obvious that you care about people and service and charity and things like that is very, very important to you. How did you develop that?
You know, looking back, my dad was a Vietnam veteran and he was also, or is a psychologist. He just retired, but in our house, there were a few things that he always made sure that we were doing. And I think at the foremost of the values he instilled in us was we take care of our people. You know, we take care of our own. We make sure that, you know, those around you who take care of you, you take care of them as best you can. And you're always watching out for other people. And that that carried over. And, you know, I'm an emotional guy. I let the tears roll all the time. And
you fit in on this podcast then. So it's all good.
Love it. It's just people, being around people, seeing people's stories, understanding where they're coming from and seeing who they are. It drives something in me to want to help them be better and kind of just grow, I guess. It's one of those things. But yeah, Pops instilled that in us early.
That's awesome. So like, I have to ask you, so typically when people are very service oriented at some point in their childhood or whenever, maybe even when they're older, something happens to them or there's some kind of like personal experience that really puts things into perspective. And especially for people that grow up a little bit more privileged than others, you know, when they see some people and do some things with them who are less fortunate. Like I remember a big thing for me that I still remember to this day and had a huge effect on me is my grandparents, they used to live in Florida. And every Christmas we would go down and visit them and we would go to a battered kids shelter. So basically kids that were taken away from their families because they were abused by their mom and dad and they were taken away by social services. Like these kids had no idea where their parents were. Their parents had no idea where their kids were and they basically had nothing. And so this shelter took them in and we would go there and kind of play Santa Claus and we would give them presents and a bunch of different stuff. And it was just so, you know, like, in two different ways. It was heartbreaking, but also heartwarming because these kids were just amazing and they had such an effect on you. And I'm just wondering, for me, that was my big experience that really got me thinking about how important community service is and doing things for others that are less fortunate than you. Was there an experience that you had? And Jeff, I'll ask you the same questions after I asked Drew, but was there a certain experience that you had that really kind of hit home?
Yeah, I think there are two things there, man. The first is we were a lower middle class family growing up. My mom was a teacher and my dad was a clinical psychologist working with a lot of schools. I think speaking to hockey, you know, we're the family that would buy sticks at Building 19. You know, we'd go in there, you'd get the wood Christians and, you know, whatever was on sale, we'd take. And I'd see kids in the locker room around me with those really expensive sticks. And I think part of me always wanted to be one of those kids or have one of those sticks that they had. And I think that was, I can't pinpoint it, man, but I think that was part of it. And the second part of it was my dad had this red phone in the house and it was his emergency phone. And whenever, you know, a kid was in a car accident, was killed or something really terrible happened in the community, he was the go-to. And whenever that phone rang, I remember running up and getting on the couch and listening, right? And you'd hear him walking people through the pain of whatever was going on or whatever was happening. And I think that drove it in me too, that you can be a force of impact out there in life if you focus on it. And I don't know if that answers it, man, but I think those two things really kind of stick out right now as drivers for me.
For sure. For sure. Vax, how about you? I mean, you're a service oriented kind of guy. You care about people a lot. You know, where did you kind of get that from? And was there a certain experience or maybe even a certain person like Drew's talking about with his dad that really, you know, really,
I mean, I think it was, I think it was my mom and my dad, your aunt and uncle. What's up, Philly Cheese and Cal? They listen every episode. They both were, and I also think I'm an empath. Like, I just like feel what other people's feel. I'm emotional. Obviously, I got flowers tattooed on me. You know, people always chirp me for that. But like, I just remember always like wanting to give money to homeless people too. Like when I was a little kid, I'd ask my parent, we'd pull up to a stoplight and I would ask my mom and dad if I could have a couple dollars to give to them. And they always would. Anytime I'd pass the bell ringers for Christmas, I always put money in there. To this day, if I pass one, I have to put money in there. My dad paid for kids who were less fortunate that couldn't afford AAA. Growing up, like they would tell me I wasn't allowed to tell anyone. They didn't tell me they did it in the beginning. And then a few years into it, they'd be like, yeah, you know, just, you know, your dad is doing this and kind of like, you know, you should give back if you're more fortunate. And it's not like we were rich by any means, but we were definitely comfortable. And, he did that quite a bit for a number of people. And he made sure that no one ever knew who paid for them. So it wasn't like, I'm doing this, look at me. It was like, I'm going to do this and I don't want anyone to know. And they still don't know to this day, actually. And so I think that really opened my eyes to like wanting to help other people out, you know, and not expect anything in return.
Yeah. Hey, Drew, I'll ask you, because I feel like I'm a little bit the same way as Vex, in what you call an empath, where you kind of feel, yeah. I didn't even know that was a word. So nice job. but I'm similar. Like when people are hurting, it's very hard for me not to hurt as well. But I think it goes the opposite way too, right? When like people are really joyous and people are really, you know, in a good frame, like it, you just feed off that energy, whether it's good or whether it's sullen. Like Drew, are you kind of similar to that too? And I'll ask both of you guys, cause I really struggle with that, especially when it's not so good. And I can't get my head around like compartmentalizing, like being able to leave that in a different place. So how do you guys like go about, Drew, are you like that? And how do you go about
100%? It's so hard. It's when you're like that and your emotions overtake everything that you do, especially in business, right? How do you actually conduct business when, you know, you're feeling for everybody? And, you know, I will tell stories in a bit, I'm sure, but that's kind of what drove our business. And seeing people hurt, and I think moreover from that, and I don't like bullies. I don't like seeing people hurt. And it just an emotional life, right? Living an emotional life means so much. And I don't know how you compartmentalize it. I don't, I guess. Right. Like,
yeah, man, you're not helping me at all.
So someone's hurt and I'm there, you know, it sucks.
Vex, how about you?
Well, for me, like, this is hilarious, but I kind of think of the guy from Happy Gilmore. Harness energy block bad. Harness energy block bad. Like
in the ball dance.
Up and down and around. It's a carousel. Like, I feel like when I was younger, I was not very good at, it's not like I was acting out or anything, but like handling emotions, bad things happen to me, maybe I'd shut down. And I'm talking from like a hockey standpoint, I guess, and maybe even like a confrontational standpoint. I would just kind of just like shut down and just be like, I'll just go home. Like what, you know? And I think through my struggles in hockey, I learned to turn the bad energy into good energy through injuries. Like we talked about on this podcast many times, concussions, you know, not being good enough when I'd go up to the next level almost every time, and just being like, you know, take the bad and somehow turn that around into working for me. And I've always wanted to do that. I've always done that now. And I've always wanted to do that. And now I try and teach all the guys I train, whether they're NHLers or they're kids, like bad stuff is going to happen. I had a bad day yesterday, had a fight with one of my best friends. About some, you know, stuff. And I just took all that negative energy and I put that into helping my guys as best as I could yesterday. And then I went to the gym and had one of the best workouts I've ever had. And I just try and, you know, harness energy, block bad, whatever that Happy Gilmore saying is. So that's kind of how, cause bad things are going to happen. So you can either let them affect you negatively or you can use them as fuel to affect you in a positive way. And then be better from that negative situation. And that's literally what I try and do every day.
Yeah. It takes a conscious effort too, eh? Like,
oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You really have to like really hone in on your self-talk and your thoughts and your attitude and be very intentional about the way that you're talking to yourself and talking to others. Like my wife, like, you know, we've been married 10 years now. She knows exactly when I'm in that mode. And because I'm like, kind of like you, like I shut down. If I get that point, I'm just see ya, like done. See, like I'm in a different landscape. And it's hard to get out of it sometimes. But yeah, I think it's something you got to really work at, just like you're saying.
Yeah, it is a learned skill. And it's just like anything else out there. And if you don't work on it, if you don't focus on it, then it's going to get at you. The positive self-talk, which you just talked about there, it's something we talk about with the players all the time, whether it's on the bench, in the gym, in the locker room, whatever. But it goes into business too. And it goes into teams and business. And you have to be deliberate with everything that you're doing when you're around your team, when you're in your own workouts, when you're, you know, planning, whatever it is, being deliberate with how you look at things, because that energy that you're putting into the world is coming out the backside. And if you don't have that positivity, if you don't have that initial, you know, that initial drive in self-talk that you can do this, you're going to make it work, then it's never going to happen. If you're doubting yourself, if you think that it's not going to happen. So yeah, that plays into motion quite a bit, but I love that. The positive self-talk is huge.
Yeah. And I'm sure like kind of like segue into what we want to talk about a lot is like, I think all three of us are very similar in the fact that we all got into this hockey business with the intention of, you know, being a greater good for the game and for the families in the game. And just from talking to you at the beginning of this, I mean, it's so, so cool, the story of how you built your business and what you're doing right now. And I have to imagine that didn't come without some lumps along the way,
at least.
as well as all of us have tried to figure it out. Like we've known is how to be a hockey player our whole lives. And all of a sudden you got to do something different. It's like, all right, there's certainly some skills that translate, but there's definitely others that you just got to kind of learn by getting punched in the face. So, I wanted to ask you first, like, what was was that your motivation to start your business, to kind of create a better culture for the hockey consumer and the hockey family and the hockey parent?
I wish I could say that, man. It was when we launched the subscription box, it was literally to make more money. I had been out of the business for so long, out of the industry, out of hockey for so long, that it was literally something I thought could be a small, quick side, you know, side hustle, that would be fun. And it turned into a very emotional ride. In view into the hockey community, and it kind of flipped as soon as I saw the backside of the industry, as soon as I saw how passionate the hockey community was out there as a whole, with politics aside, it flipped things for me. And that's what, you know, it's, tell us a quick story, but early on we ran a bag drive for people in the community. And the thought behind that was, look, bags are pretty cheap to buy wholesale. And we know that there are a lot of kids out there that have ratty bags in locker rooms. It seems like something small, but it really isn't. I mean, you see some of the kids out there that are bringing in their old dad's, you know, army bag with their gear in it when they're younger. You know, I can't imagine they feel great going into it when you see these 36 inch grip bags with the wheels and all the pockets, and here comes a duffel bag, right? So we did a quick drive, bag drive, and we got it out there, and we did about 30 bags out across the country. A few went up to Canada to people who had submitted for it and told stories. And there was one video that came back to us that made it flipped everything in my life upside down, to the point where I won't stop doing what I'm doing ever. And it was a video of a foster mom who had I'd say 11, 12 year old. We'd wrapped the bag up in Saran wrap because we didn't have boxes that were big enough. And it was a nice true bag, I think, whatever it was. And it was a video of the kid on the kitchen floor opening the Saran wrap with a knife. And he just looked down and started crying. Freaking foster kid over a hockey bag, man, a hockey bag. And this kid just broke down, and you could hear the foster mom crying on the phone too, doing the video. And that was something that just moved me in a way that nothing else in any of the businesses that I've ever had did. And it brought it to light that, look, you can make an impact here, and you can make a true impact in something that you love. Get after it. Let's go. And that since that day, seeing that video, seeing that kid with his hands in his head crying, man, it was just the most emotional drive I've ever had. And it was game on from there.
I don't know if you guys can see this right here. Our listeners certainly can't see this because it's a podcast, but this is a brick wall that I'm holding up right now. and I'm ready to freaking run right through it right now. Oh man, that's unreal. So like for our listeners that don't know a whole heck of a lot of your background, tell them a little bit about this subscription box and what you're doing right now to provide some of this equipment and stuff for the hockey community.
Yeah. So we started off again back in 2016. It was on a whim. We launched a subscription box for hockey players called the Penalty Box. Again, on a whim, and we had no idea what it was going to do. We all had separate jobs. We had a different company, and it took off and it was doing really well. It showed us a lot behind the scenes, what happens with the hockey industry on the equipment and apparel side of things. And, as it took off, we realized that we needed to connect better with our consumers. We needed a way to see what they wanted. So we started a private Facebook group called Hockey Deals and Discounts. And the idea was we'll get our, you know, at that point, I think we only had 1,000 subscribers, get them into one place, ask them that what they want to see, and potentially, you know, have them bring other consumers or other hockey parents into it. And then, you know, get some free advertising every once in a while, but talk hockey, see what was going on. We started going to small to mid-sized manufacturers like Hockey Sauce Kit or Pacific Rink Bags and saying, hey guys, we have 5,000 people in this small hockey group. Do you want to get a captive audience and run a deal to them is what we call them. You know, 20% off, we get a cut of, the wholesale percentage off that. And they get direct to that audience. And we ended up selling a lot of stuff early on, and the group continued to grow. And our business model flipped very quickly from just being a subscription box to being e-commerce to now we have a 12,000 square foot warehouse that does fulfillment for 10 different hockey companies and sporting good companies. And it just blew up. Now we have 45,000 members in that group. It's all great hockey parents. But I think stepping back and getting to the giving side of that group is we saw a lot of stories coming out of that. They're all parents on the ground, right? They're all parents that are in the rinks. Their kids are all, you know, mites all the way up through juniors. And you would hear and see stories posted of, you know, everything from, you know, when Humboldt went down to, you know, different hockey players dying on the ice or a hockey family having their house burned down. And you would see all these little things happening all across the country, but their small micro community coming together to support them and lift them up and take care of them. And right there it hit when you saw all these little things, it was like, wait, hockey as a whole is a family for the most part. Like minus the politics and the BS ring stuff. But what if we took those stories and brought it to the bigger hockey family and really lifted everything up? And we started to see people connecting from, you know, Northern Alberta down to Miami to, you know, around us in Nebraska. And you saw all these little connections happening and people helping each other. The love of the game, the true hockey family started coming out. And it was through just allowing people to have a voice, but a positive voice. We don't allow negativity. We don't allow politics. None of that BS. It's not for us. It took off and it resonated, and we built a true community in this stupid Facebook group that has given us so much opportunity.
Wow, that's so cool. Yeah. And that's what you think.
That's unreal. I mean, my favorite things are, I mean, obviously it's like not good when a tragedy happens, but when you see the hockey community rally as a whole, like you said, on a micro scale, on a smaller scale, and then on the macro scale, like the entire hockey world is talking about it and sending positive vibes or prayers or whatever you're
sticks
into.
Out,
and,
right.
You know, yeah, you know, like, and it's real. And there's something about hockey that just like, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Like, obviously it's something, and there's obviously people that listen to us because they feel the same thing and we're trying to make it better and push the positives and stuff like that. But, you know, it's so cool. And it makes so much sense to kind of bring it all into one place. It's really, really cool.
Drew, is that Facebook community still called Hockey Deals and Discounts?
It is. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So for all our listeners, we got thousands of listeners that listen to this. And,
absolutely.
Hockey Deals and Discounts. Get there, out. Baby.
But not it's only, so funny.
Yeah, go ahead.
So it's funny. We thought about changing the names a few times because it's obviously, you know, you look at that and it's like, oh, the hockey deals and discounts are going to be spitting deals at us all the time. Right. But it's so much more. It really is.
That's so cool, man. Like, I don't know, the whole community aspect of hockey, it really is special. Like with everything that I've done with my business, the Hockey Think Tank, like that's the one word that we've tried to really hone in on with everything that we do. And that's bringing good hockey people together, like yep. bringing passionate hockey people together. Because when you do that, like you have no choice but to just get better.
Yeah.
Whether you're a parent and you can just get perspective from other parents, like what you're talking about, like, you know, when you have, you can have a conversation or build a relationship with somebody from Northern Alberta that has a completely different perspective about the youth hockey experience or elite level hockey experience, whatever it may be. I mean, the more perspective you get, Jeff and I talk about it all the time on this podcast, the better off you're going to be able to do whatever it is that you're setting out to do. So I really applaud you for trying to do that, because it's not easy, because this hockey world a lot of times can be backwards. And yeah, I think a lot of time we get bogged down in the backwardsness of the hockey world. But at the same time, like, and that's what we talk about too, is like the hockey world is like 90% people that are in it for the right reasons and 10% people that are not. And a lot of times that 10% causes a lot of problems for that yes. other 90, you know? And but when you get to speak with people like that who are in the, let's call it the foxhole with you, and are going through the same issues and problems and able to hear their stories and how they got out of it and all that kind of stuff, it's very powerful.
It is. And honestly, that's, you know, we have the Penalty Box Sports, and through this, we started the foundation. The foundation launched, a year and a half ago, but we had been working it basically the whole time. So in the foundation's idea is, you know, I'm wearing the shirt here. It's we take care of our own. In everything that we do, A to Z, is to take care of hockey parents and players within our community and within that hockey community. And it's special. The stories you hear, the pictures you see, the notes that come through, you know, a lot of it is people trying to help other people, and just wanting to do better. It's special, man. It's a special community.
Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about the Penalty Box Foundation. How did you come up with it, and what are some things that you do for people in the hockey world? And I mean, I've read up about it, and it just seems incredible. So if you can just let our listeners know a little bit about what it is and what you guys do.
Yeah. So it was, where did it come from? It came from what we talked about, where you would see all of these GoFundMes coming across, right? And GoFundMes for this, for that, for this, for that, all these different fundraisers. And I'd be getting emails and text messages and PMs from all different people saying, hey, can I post this in the group? Can we go to the community to see what we can do? And it just kind of came through. It was like, why don't we just start a foundation, a charity, a 501c3 that's front lines, special forces for, you know, the hockey world. Something happens. Hey, we're there. What do you need? And everybody took to that, and it's really community driven, you know, the process of approving applications and, you know, the way that we raise money, it relies on, I keep saying it, but it relies on the community to thrive. You know, if one of our, if we hear a story in California of a family, like we heard recently whose house burned down, three hockey players in the house and all of their stuff is gone. And the dad's sitting there and he's thinking, how am I going to rebuild the house? But what are those kids thinking? That's my hockey gear, man. What, like, I'm thinking about getting back on the ice, and the dad's thinking about, you know, building a house. I feel bad talking about hockey at this point. That's where we can step in and say, you know what, don't even worry about it. You know, your gear is going to be there next week. And don't even think about it again. And man, I'll tell you, the stuff like that, the notes that get sent back to the foundation, we have a wall in our office of just everything that everybody's always sent. And if you ever visit, it's almost like a shrine. It makes you break down and kind of think about people and motivation and, you know, who you are and why you're doing things. It's really special.
Yes, it is.
Making me emotional over here, Drew.
I know. Well, dude, I love the "We Take Care of Our Own" slogan that you guys have. I mean, I think if you were ever to like have a statement that just embodies like good hockey. Like that's kind of what it is. I mean, yeah. Our sport, and I'm sure other sports are like this and other sports talk about it, but I feel like hockey is special in the sense that we take care of our own from the micro level. Like it's so funny. We're having this conversation right now because I had a kid that I coached at Cornell reached out to me literally today. And he's like, "Hey, I want to start this big mentorship program, to help kids and families, just kind of navigate the process, and not even necessarily from a hockey standpoint, but this is a kid that's played in the NHL and he's like, "Hey, like I have a big platform right now. What can I do to help?" Yep. And it's just like, there's so many good people like that. When you're fortunate to be around people like that every day and have conversations, it does nothing but uplift you and want you to be at your best for others. And I'm sure that's the culture that's been created there with what you guys are doing. That's awesome.
Yeah. And again, it's been a wild ride and a lot of good comes out of it, but I got to tell you, there's the emotion we talked about, kind of compartmentalizing things, and you want to help so many people, and the amount of applications through COVID that we've been getting have increased so drastically. And we were, we're at a point where we had three live events that we were supposed to do, a derby party and two other events that were supposed to be big drivers for us for fundraising, and those fell off. Unfortunately, and we've been having to get really, really creative on how we're fundraising and getting the funds in the door. It's been a wild 2020, as it has been for everybody else out there, but it's, we're fighting through, and we've been able to really, really make an impact out there. So it's been good stuff.
So this guy like walked or ran for like, What did you do with that walk or run thing that I was seeing? You like his feet were bleeding. Like
it was disgusting. Yeah.
Do your dang research. That's a 75-mile walk. Do your research before these podcasts, will you?
It was insane, man. I remember following along that day, and I was like, "Oh my god, this like what a savage."
Yeah, it was 70. It was called 75 miles in 24 hours. It turned out to be 75 miles in 28 hours. But
good lord.
Yeah, it was straight walking. So I walked basically from Boston down to Cape Cod, and then ended up in my hometown Marion at Travis Roy Rink. And along the way, we pulled into different rinks, four or five different rinks, and there were people out there cheering, and it was quite an event. And we raised about $20,000 through that walk for the foundation, but. Yeah, it was, my feet were mangled after that.
They weren't pretty, I'll tell you that much. I don't know if they were pretty to start with, but they weren't pretty to finish. No. I know that.
Well, either end of it, man.
It's really cool that you guys did that. And we had a similar experience this year. I run a charity hockey game up here in upstate New York. And we do every year, and we bring in NHL players, and we kind of merge it with the local hockey community. And we raise typically somewhere between $100,000 and $150,000 per year. And then when COVID came, we were like, I don't know, like, what do we do? Do we just not do anything? And we ended up doing an online kind of version of the game, and we raised more money doing it this year that way than we did with the game. And again, it's just a testament to, we take care of our own. Like there were people that just love the Cornell hockey community where we are right now. And it's for the special needs community, a school racker for kids with special needs. And just like which is a very similar community, I feel like, to the hockey community, the special needs community. And that's why I think the game is such an awesome marriage. But it's just like, you have to get creative and you have to think outside the box, and you can't just like give up. You just got to find another way. And it's very cool that you did that. And to walk 75 miles in 28 hours, like, not only did you get creative, but you put yourself at much physical harm, my friend.
Yeah, but we talked about it a little earlier. It's everybody else out there is hurting. What am I going to do? Sit here at my desk? No, I'd rather put myself through a little physical pain and take some of their pain on than, not do anything. I don't know. It was interesting.
You're a savage, and I love it.
Oh, so cool. So cool. Well, I want to kind of get back to a little bit of the the equipment story, because I feel like that is a very big source of stress for a lot of hockey families today. Like I walked into a pro shop the other day and I could not believe the price tags on the things that I was seeing for hockey equipment. And to be honest, like it's going to drive people out of the sport because it's too expensive. It's just way too expensive. And you guys have done a lot of work to combat that and working with other, you know, smaller level companies, like we said. So what has your experience been like with that and being able to provide this unbelievable service to be able to get people cheaper equipment? And then also, like, what were some of the hurdles to that too? Because I can't imagine some of these big boy companies were very happy that you were taking some of their market share.
No, that's for sure. So our model is not, you know, I've had some of the big boys call us too disruptive to deal with, right? And we get letters pretty frequently from these larger companies. The hockey industry, the equipment industry is bullshit. It's an old boy network of large companies and large big box retailers that are keeping prices high. And there's no reason that a $300 stick that costs $40 to make, there's no reason for that. And it gets back to that is hurting our hockey families. That's hurting our community. I started to see the backside of that in kind of the way that the hockey industry worked and the lack of progress and innovation that was allowed because of the larger companies, from my view at least, it pissed me off. And when we say we take care of our own, it's not just if you had a catastrophic event, it's little stuff like that. So we went out there in Hockey Deals and Discount. I mean, 45,000 hockey parents is a force. It is a force to
especially get the if voice. There's a lot of hockey moms.
The majority are hockey moms, and when they want something, they're going to get it. They are pit bulls, and that's for sure. So our model is a little bit different. We tend to never sell things at MSRP or what the manufacturers call MAP. And that's manufactured advertising pricing. And what that is these companies saying that this is what it costs and you cannot sell it for anything less. And I don't like that. They say it devalues their product. I don't believe that. I think that if you can bring a product to consumers at a lower price point, you should be able to do so. And our business model, you know, we have slim margins. We're not looking to, we have slim margins, and that's it. We've learned to work with it. So I guess trying to be a little political here, we went out there and, you know, our goal is to now connect consumers, our community out there with small to medium sized businesses, remove the big box stores, and start taking market share from the big guys. And start chipping away day by day and start chipping away by making connections. A lot of these small to medium-sized manufacturers and brands have fought the same fight that we have. We've been fortunate enough to acquire three different small single products, Ska Boots, Odor Gladiator, and Hockey Tool, in trying to get those out to market without what we have as a community would be impossible. And we have partners out there who have fought the big guys in court saying, you know, anything from neck guards to gloves to different innovations that they want to bring to market, but they can't because these big companies have deep pockets and they come and say, you're not going to do that because we have a patent on this. Well, that's not that patent doesn't cover this. But how are you going to fight one of these big companies? So our goal here is to build a big enough base of consumers to have a voice. And to make sure that voice is not only for those consumers, but it is also for the manufacturers who are trying to innovate, who are trying to make the game better, and connect those immediately. A lot of people are caught in the old boys network of the hockey industry, and we're not. We're above it, and we're on a mission. And you know, I'll say this: I hope someone out there is listening in one of these big stores. We're coming, and we're not going to stop. We're here for the consumers, and we're here to make the game better. And that's what we're going to do.
First of all, I absolutely love that. Big stores, F you. Second of all, like love this so much because I love the game of hockey. It's given me everything I have in my life. It's taught me to be a better person, I think, and all these things. And we are literally severely limiting how, if the barrier for entry now is just, it's so high with ice costs and then equipment costs. And then the amount of kids that we probably lose year after year after year because mom or dad loses a job where it gets too expensive or travel costs cost this much. And then you got to spend $3,000 on equipment. We're just losing so many players. And this great game teaches everybody to be good people. Now, you know, maybe we're not allowing people to reach their true potential and be a good person and give back. And that's why I started working with our mutual friend Gel Sticks, because they also had another company that was going out and making sticks from the same manufacturers in China that the big companies were making, coming out of the same factories. Literally, they can't say the same stick, but it was 99.999, the same stick for less than half the price. And I was like, yes, this is a business I want to be a part of. I want to get these sticks out there because if they're even close to as good, like, we can help a lot of people with this. And I was all about it. You know, and then that introduced me to the Gel Sticks guys and started working with Gels, and they now sponsor our podcast. But that whole thing started with me seeing on LinkedIn this company that was making the same sticks from China for way less. And I was like, oh my God, so necessary. This is disgusting how much these sticks cost. And then you find out, like you said, they cost $40 to make, but they're selling them for $279 to $309. You're like, how much profit do you need to make, like, off of these people who spend so much money, so much time, so much effort in hockey? And then you're just losing fans and losing people playing because of it. It's disgusting. $900 skates? Like, come on. $900, $1,000. Like, there's a way that we can get that price down.
There is a way, actually, Jeff. I'll tell you the way. And that is, you do not hit your growth spurt and you're in junior life. Like I am, and then your skates are very cheap. Problem solved. You might not make the NHL, but you'll have cheap skates for life.
There you go.
And it's a problem. We stay out of the politics for the most part, but it's a problem with the game. And good friend and in amazing person, Travis Roy, he spoke at our gala last year for the foundation, and he had extremely impactful words. And something that sticks out in my mind is he got out there and for someone who's lost everything to the game, still loves it and gives back so much. He sat up there and said, it was along the lines of, I am very scared for our sport. And I can't agree more. And when you're seeing AAA Mike teams that are super, you know, super duper turbo, whatever the hell it is these days, you know, they're mites. They're mites. When you're paying $10,000 for a mite to go out and play, it's that side of the business that carries over into those expensive sticks, into the skates that, and give me an old pair of skates from Play It Against Sports, but it plays into the industry and the sport as a whole. And you're right, Jeff, you are losing kids. There's no question that this sport could be everywhere and could be for everyone. And the NHL says they have a slogan. What is it? Hockey's for everybody. Is it really? You know, and it's really not. And it's because of these. It's very frustrating to see. But getting back to it, it's you have to be able to bring people together, give them a voice, and let them act or be the voice for them. And I think in this sport, that's what has been missing, is that good voice to go out and say, no, not anymore. We're not going to do this anymore. And, you know, we're doing our best to be that voice for this platform. But man, it's been a wild ride. That's for sure.
Amen, man. I mean, that's why we do this podcast. It's how I built my business. It's the exact same thing, you know, kind of pushing back on the tough stuff that we see and try and enlighten people like yourself that are doing good things for the sport and bring people on that will inspire people. And Travis Roy is one of those people as well. And for those of you listening that don't know who Travis Roy is, so he was a kid that grew up in Boston. His dream was to play at BU, went to BU, his first game ever as a college hockey player, 11 seconds into his first shift, he gets kind of a weird hit from behind, kind of unintentional, but just like kind of like a weird hit from behind and went right into the boards. And now he's paralyzed from the waist down. And I mean, talk about, I don't even know how to talk about it. I mean, that's just, you're a kid growing up in Boston, dream is to play at BU, and 11 seconds into your first shift, you go down and you're, the rest of your life is changed. But he himself has done a lot of good for the hockey community. And it pains me to hear him say that about the hockey community as well. But on the other side of it, like if you can, you know, you had him at your gala to speak, talk to our listeners a little bit about who Travis Roy is and how amazing the things that he's doing right now.
He is one of my favorite people and the best people I think in the world. Our generation is lucky. Our sport is lucky to have him. I got to know Travis, God, back in 2003. I had a friend who broke his neck our sophomore year of high school, and my mom bought Travis's book, and we all signed the inside cover after our group of friends read it. And she reached out to him, and Travis, no questions asked, immediately got in the van and came down and talked to our school and gave an amazing speech about, you know, thinking what life is like. And he made such an impact on me that day and our community that day that I continue to follow him. And today he is raising, thousands and thousands of dollars for people who have suffered spinal cord injuries, making sure that they can live a life that they couldn't have without it. You know, ramps, vans, and he is such a damn inspiration that, you know, I can only wake up and strive to be that man every day. He's a special person.
And I feel like there's a lot of those people in the hockey community too. You know, like you even look at Chris Snow, who just got diagnosed with ALS. And I saw a tweet his wife put out the other day. You know, they gave him however many months to live, and he's, you know, going to blow past that. And I just feel like there's a lot of really resilient, awesome people in the hockey community. And then a lot of really awesome people who support the people. Just like you say, we take care of our own. And I feel like we're belaboring the point, but at the same time, like it's a point that is just really cool to talk about because it is, I mean, the hockey community, there's nothing like it. And, hearing stories like Travis and Chris and you know, the humble Broncos the family that lost their home. And I mean, there's just so many. And the fact that you have that Facebook community that's connecting those people so they can support those people, I mean, you're doing a huge service for our sport. It's awesome.
Well, with what you're doing with Hockey Think Tank and you know, Vex, what you do with the training of the kids, it's in the players, it's the same thing. And I'll look, you know, they can't see it, but you both have the give more, be more. And Vex, when we met at the, I believe it was the All-Star game, and you said that, I was like, all right, I get this guy. I like it.
I know, right away. I met him with the Gel Sticks guys at the All-Star game when it was in St. Louis. And like, it's going to sound a little weird. There's something in his eyes. I was like, this guy's a good guy. And I didn't even know what he did yet. And then people told me, and I was like, whoa, like that's really cool. And, you know, I'm now following him on social media and I see him, you know, bloody feet running, walking 75 miles, all the stuff he does for the community. And yeah, it's very cool.
Unreal, man. Unreal. Well, Drew, tell our listeners where they can find you. Where can they find, obviously we talked about the Facebook group, Hockey Deals and Discounts, but talk about the Penalty Box Foundation and anything on social media that you have going on where people can start following you. And we like our fan, I know it's not really a fan base, but our community is very similar to yours. Very passionate about the game, very passionate about the betterment of the game. And I think it's a great marriage. I think a lot of people who follow what we do will get a lot of value out of what you got going on as well.
Absolutely, man. And first and foremost, it's penaltybox.org. If you want to reach out, if you can help, if you need help, you know, if you know people who need help, we are nothing without the eyes and ears of the community out there, seeing these stories and bringing them to us. And a lot of the times, you know, we're fighting every day to keep up with the requests and the impact that we can make. But if you need help, if you you see people who need help, or you can help, you know, us with fundraising or volunteering, we're always up for it. Penaltyboxfoundation.org. Me personally on Instagram, drew.lane. You know, I try to keep it lively between being a dad, entrepreneur, and running the foundation. We have some fun there. I think the big part here is following the journey and you know, challenging. I mean, it's weird to say, right? But challenging everybody within your community, our community, to have the courage to be better and have the courage to go out there and take the initiative to stand up. Stand up for other people, stand up for the game, stand up for themselves, whatever it might be. You know, we will be here. We'll take care of you. But I challenge everybody out there to have that courage.
Love it, man. Well, hey, like Jeff and I were actually texting before we let you go. We were texting as we were going through this. We like didn't plan on this at all, but we want to give you $500 from the Hockey Think Tank podcast for what you're doing. I mean, it's just, you know, we really believe in it. We value the same stuff that you value, and we're happy to support what you have going on.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate that, boys. It's it means a lot. That means a lot.
Take care of your own, like your shirt says, bro.
Love it. Absolutely. Love it. Love it.
Well, thank you for your time today. I mean, this was, it's funny, like, you know, Jeff and I, when we bring guests on the podcast, sometimes it's a mutual friend that we know. Sometimes it's somebody that one of us knows, and then the other one just kind of gets on, and we're like, just get to know each other type of stuff. And you know, Jeff texted me earlier. He's like, hey, I got Drew to come on the podcast. It's going to be great. I said, awesome. And then I kind of got to look into what you were doing and the stuff you were doing and how cool it is. And then getting the chance to be able to like all of our listeners or some of our listeners or most of our listeners who don't know your story and the story of your business and your foundation. I think there's just such an inspiration there. And we appreciate you taking the time to come on to our podcast, and I'm sure we'll be in touch. And it was a pleasure, man.
A lot of fun. Appreciate it, guys.